I'm excited to be here with you today. As we take a journey through the Old Testament, many of us have heard some of the well-known historical stories in the Old Testament. Some of those stories, of course, the creation story, Noah's Ark. We've got Moses, you know, and the Israelites. We've got Abraham and so on. We've even heard of some of the women that were involved in those stories, such as Eve, Sarah, Deborah, Esther, Ruth. All of these individuals played an important part in God's story and in the history of God's people. But some lesser known individuals also played a role in writing God's story. And many of those are women. These women may not have had a whole chapter or a book written about them. In fact, many may just get a verse or two. You'll see that today in the mention of one particular action that they did. But the impact of that action in the fulfillment of God's plan was critical. This summer, we're going to take a look at some of these women, study a small bit, very small bit of their lives that we can find in Scripture to see how their roles were used by God to accomplish His divine purposes. And their stories remind us that in God's plan, no act of faith is too small, and no person is too hidden to be used powerfully to further God's purposes for His kingdom as He continues to write His story. Are you ready to dive in? All right. And you have a notes page, so I will tell you my points I'm making today are a little longer than normally. Normally we try to scrunch them into some clever words that get the message across, but I wanted to give you the full thought today. So those are on your page along with the women that we're going to look at today. And this is just free. You take notes as you want. And then on the back, there are discussion questions. If you're going to do that with a group afterwards, if you're not, that's fine. You can take these home and look over them and think about them as well. Okay, so I'm going to start by asking you a question this morning, okay? So what comes to your mind when you hear the word trust? All right, just whatever comes to mind. It may be something that brings you peace or maybe something that makes you a little nervous. Maybe it brings a person to your mind. Maybe it brings a person that you didn't trust very much to mind. Today, we're going to study five women who risked their safety and their future because they trusted in God. You may have heard their names mentioned in one of the larger stories that I talked about earlier, but today we're going to dive deeper into how their role in these stories, no matter how small, was important to the broader landscape of God's story. We'll be looking at several verses today. And with these five women, and the first passage we're going to look at is found in Exodus 1, verses 15 through 21. And here we find two midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. And before we get to the scripture, I want to talk a little bit about the role of the midwife at this time and in that culture, because today we have midwives today as well. But there are some differences in how midwives we have in our culture today are done as opposed to what these midwives were. So most likely these midwives were Hebrew, not Egyptian. At that time, the Israelites were in Egypt, but these midwives would have been Hebrew because they were a household role of a servant or a slave, all right, typically. So midwives today, not the case, right? They're professionals, they're seen as that. But also, historical evidence shows that these midwives were trained professionals. So they may have been a servant in a household, but they were also trained specifically for this. And they were even maybe religious practitioners in their childbirth experiences, and this is why. Their reverence for the life that was being born would have been seen as a reverence for God. Isn't that beautiful? Takes on a little more weight with that role, doesn't it? So a little history around this. So Joseph, after Joseph's death, and of course, Joseph came to Egypt, went through a lot of things, finally became powerful in Egypt. He brought the Israelites there to save them because there was a famine going on so they could survive, right? So the Israelites came to Egypt. And at that point, the Israelites had been growing in their population. And they had been growing so much that the Pharaoh at that time starts to feel threatened. So he enslaves them. He also commands the midwives to kill all male Hebrews, because at that time, the males would have been the ones who posed a military threat. So if the Israelites decided to gang up on the Egyptians, it would have been the males to do that. So this is where we pick up the story of Shiphrah and Puah. And so we're going to read from Exodus chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders, and they allowed the boys to live too. Now let's pause here for a moment. These verses are telling us that the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, gave this direct command. And if anyone were to disobey a direct command from a Pharaoh, that would be considered treason and punishable by death. Shiphrah and Puah, they knew this. Yet they still disobeyed Pharaoh. Why? Because they feared God more. And not that they feared God would strike them dead if they let a Hebrew baby die, right? If they killed a Hebrew baby. This fear was a trust that no matter what happened, God would be with them. So knowing this, we're going to continue in verse 18. So the king of Egypt called for midwives. Why have you done this? He demanded. Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women, this is the midwives now responding. Well, the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women, the midwives replied. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time. You all know where I'm going. I love this reason, don't you? Okay. As women, we know that no two births are the same. I have two kids, totally different birth stories with each of them. If we were to share birth stories around this room, there would be differences in every single one. But let's be honest. What man, especially at this time in history, especially the high ruler of the country, would actually know what childbirth entails, right? So Shiphrah and Puah, they knew this, and that it was safe to give this reason for their actions. And God has a reaction as well. So let's see what that is. Verse 20. So God was good to the midwives. And the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. God's reaction, he was good to the midwives, as only God can be. He honored the fact that they had honored him with their actions, even though it meant potential consequence of death for them. So this brings us to our first truth. We can never underestimate the power of a single yes to God. One simple act of obedience can change the course of history for generations to come. In this case, Shiphrah and Puah, their courageous actions saved countless lives. Their trust in God rather than fear of man helped protect Israel's future, including the lineage of Jesus, our Savior. Trust over fear. But they were not alone in their obedience to God. In fact, their obedience resulted in the opportunity for our next hidden figures, Jochebed and Miriam, also known as Moses' mother and sister. So we're going to read in Exodus 2, starting with verse 1. And I want to say in these verses, Jochebed and Miriam are not actually named It's Moses, it's the mother and the sister, but they are named in the Bible in later scripture, all right? So we're going to say their names today, all right? Okay, let's start. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter 2. About this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she wove a basket out of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. And soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. And when the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, the one saved by the midwives, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. I will pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. And later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. Now, this passage is probably familiar to many of you who have studied the story of Moses. I think it's important to realize what lengths Moses' mother and sister would go to save him. First, his mom, Jochebed, she hid him for 3 months. Now, let's think about that. It's not easy to hide a baby being born, much less hiding a newborn for 3 months. And let me tell you kind of how they lived back then. They didn't live in huge houses with a lot of land between each other. They lived in these villages. Their houses are very close together. And those houses were designed to stay cool in the desert. So a lot of open spaces, right? And a courtyard. So to hide a baby in that case would have been almost miraculous, wouldn't it have? Having a baby, yet Jochebed did this as long as she could. Why? Because it says she saw that he was a special baby. Now, I think we would all say that about all our babies or babies in general. I'm seeing some special babies right now. I bet she soaked up that time she had with Moses while she created a safe space for him to grow. She already had 2 kids, Aaron and Miriam. She still took a chance to save her youngest, Moses. And when the time comes that she can't hide him any longer, she crafted a basket, making it as safe as possible, and carefully placed Moses inside. Then she placed him along the shore of the Nile River, a river that is over 4,000 miles long. I can't imagine what it was like for her. I'm sure she kissed him, she held him tight before placing him in that basket. I also think this is one of the most beautiful pictures of a mother entrusting her child's life to God. Oh, how she must have trusted God to be able to do this. And it's here that we find our next truth. Real obedience means stepping into the unknown, trusting that God holds our future in his hands, even when we can't see the path, or in this case, the river ahead. Jochebed's courageous actions as a mother revealed a complete trust in God for the future of her son. And guess who was watching? Her daughter. Jochebed models this trust in God for Moses' sister, Miriam, who now takes over the role of watching over him. As Moses' basket sits by the river, Miriam watches. And it's then she witnesses Pharaoh's daughter come, and she notices the basket there in the Nile River, recognizes there's a baby in the basket, and not just any baby, but a Hebrew baby. And before Pharaoh's daughter can say anything, Miriam bravely offers to go get a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby. A young girl who certainly would have been punished for recommending that a princess defy her father's orders to kill the Hebrew baby boys, decides to risk her safety to save her brother. I think sometimes we just read through the story and we forget the true courage it would have taken for Miriam to do this. She was a young Hebrew girl, part of a nation of strangers in a foreign land, slaves to a powerful ruler, encountering royalty she didn't know. Yet she courageously made an offer to save her brother. But we shouldn't be surprised, because Miriam had seen this courage modeled by her parents, by her mother, who also defied the ruler of the time to save her son. And Miriam followed that example as she showed determination to save her brother. When we look at the rest of this passage, we see that Moses is actually returned to his mother for nursing. God is good, isn't he? At that time, it was actually customary to nurse a child up to 3 or 4 years old. How good is God to give this period of time to Moses' parents, to teach him all they knew about the God of their fathers? And then once again, Moses' mother, Jochebed, gives him away, not knowing what his future would hold, putting him in the house of a Pharaoh who had ordered him to be killed along with other babies, but trusting the Lord for it. She placed her son in God's hands. Ladies, not once, but twice. Trust over fear. This shows us our next truth. When we choose to trust God through our obedience, our lives become a living invitation that inspires others to step out in faith. If our courageous determination comes from a trust in God, as Jochebed and Miriam's did, others will see it. But most importantly, God will be glorified. We're going to look at one other woman in the Old Testament who was a hidden figure who helped fulfill a holy purpose. And I chose her because her story is a bit similar to this, to the story of the midwives and Miriam and Jochebed. Her name is Jehosheba. And we find her story in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 10 through 12. So we're going to read that. And by the way, there are a lot of biblical names in these very brief verses, so you will hear me speak them in Oklahoman and other versions of that, but I'm going to do my best, all right? So here we go. There's a lot of A's too. A lot of them start with A's and J's. You see that? It's very common. Okay, all right, here we go. When Athaliah, the mother of King Hazael of Judah, learned that her son was dead, she began to destroy the rest of Judah's royal family. But Hazael's sister Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Ahaz's infant son Joash and stole him away from among the rest of the king's children, who were about to be killed. Sound familiar? She put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom, and in this way, Jehosheba, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest and sister of Hazael, hid the child so that Athaliah could not murder him. Joash remained hidden in the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled over the land. Ladies, talk about a dysfunctional family here, right? You know, sometimes we read stories in the Old Testament and we go, wow, did that really happen? You know, you just kind of shake your head and they seem so foreign to us. But I wanted to include this story in a lesson today because of these similarities. So first, we see there's a ruler trying to get rid of a tribe or a nation, right? In this case, it's the queen. She gains power after the king, who is her son, is killed. Now, we might think she's doing this out of revenge for her son, but that's not the case. She's doing it because she wants to gain power. And to do that, she has to remove any possible claim to the throne of Judah. So to do that, she has to permanently remove the rest of the family. Sound familiar? Pharaoh wants to remove the male babies so the Hebrew nation won't continue to grow and possibly become strong enough to overthrow him. But remember, this is God's story. The next thing we see is that God chooses a woman named Jehosheba to fulfill his purposes. Jehosheba was the sister of the king who had died. So essentially, she also was royalty. And God uses this sister to rescue and protect a baby and his nurse. Just as we see Miriam rescue and protect her baby Moses, her baby brother Moses, along with her mom as his nurse. In this case, Jehosheba not only saves this baby, but she hides him and the nurse in the temple. And that's a space, the temple at that point was a space, a representation of God's power and his protection for his people. It was a safe place. What courage Jehosheba had to risk her life, to enter the palace, to take Joash and his nurse and hide them, to protect them until Joash could safely take the throne. Trusting God over her fear of a queen. We see one more similarity. Just as Moses was saved and eventually led God's people out of slavery, we see Joash become king at 7 years old and reign in Jerusalem for 40 years. The lineage of David and ultimately the lineage of Jesus continued through Joash's sons. All because one woman had the courage to choose trust in God over fear for her life. And that allowed God's story to continue. This brings us to our next truth. Obedience isn't always easy, but it anchors us in God's care, knowing he will provide exactly what we need. Shifra, Puah, Jochebed, Miriam, Jehosheba, all daughters of God. All part of his chosen people, the Israelites, all facing harm or even death from rulers and circumstances out of their control. Yet they all chose to be obedient to God, to trust him with what they did not know. In doing so, their actions ensured that the lineage of our Savior would not be destroyed before Jesus could be born. God honored their obedience with opportunity, with safety, with blessing. He wrote their names in the history of his written word, the Bible, God's story. And here's the good news, ladies. God is still writing his story. And he offers us an invitation to be a part of that story. So I want to ask you this. Where will your name be written in God's story? For most of us, and thank goodness, it won't be the experience of saving a baby from a ruler who wants to kill it, right? Or hiding a child so they could survive an evil master plan. But God can use each of us if we're willing to be obedient to his call and trust him even when we can't see the full plan. I want to share a story with you that maybe brings it a little closer to home, a little more realistic to where each of us are today, but to still show us how those small acts of obedience and trust can make a large impact in God's story. I'd like to introduce you to a woman named Lenita. Lenita grew up in a large family in the Oklahoma Panhandle. Life wasn't always easy, and they didn't have much in the way of material wealth at all. But in the middle of that life, Lenita found meaning when her mom began taking them to church, and she was introduced to Jesus and accepted him as her Savior. Years later, Lenita married a minister and stepped into the role of a pastor's wife. Now, if you knew Lenita, she was a naturally shy and private person, which made public life a little intimidating, especially in the world of the pastor world. But she had a beautiful gift for music, and she served the Lord faithfully, letting her quiet life be her testimony. She spent most of her career working in the doctor's office, and it was there, in the midst of that daily work, that her trust in God truly was revealed. Lenita didn't feel the need to shout to be heard. She did not need a stage. In fact, she preferred not to have a stage. People were simply drawn to the joy she carried and the way she treated everyone with her kindness. Her coworkers noticed something different about her. So fighting back that quiet voice of shyness and that fear of rejection, Lenita did something brave, and she invited her coworker, Sue, to church. And that single, simple yes to God opened a door that couldn't be closed. Sue came, and then her daughter joined her. Then Sue's brother and his entire family started coming. Then Sue's mom came, and finally her husband started coming. One invitation from a shy, quiet coworker blossomed into 8 people meeting Jesus. And that wasn't the end of it. Lenita kept inviting. And over the years, that one simple act of obedience, choosing to trust God more than her own nerves, overcoming that shyness, led 15 people to be introduced to Jesus. Watching her walk that path taught more about what it means to choose obedience over fear than any sermon ever could. Because when Lenita stepped into trusting God, she didn't just change her own story. She changed the stories of everyone she invited as their names were written in God's story. And she changed mine too, because Lenita is my mom. And she modeled what it looked like to give God her fear and trust him and have her name written in his story. These women we studied today gave God their fear and trusted him. And through their obedience, these courageous women, and I'm going to say their names one more time because it is important. Shiphrah, Puah, Jochebed, Miriam, Jehosheba. Actively preserved the lineage of Jesus and impacted God's people, including us, for eternity. We know their names. We should say their names because God wrote them into his story. So I'm going to ask you again, where will your name be written in God's story? Where are you choosing to obey God, to follow where he leads, to act when he says act, even doing something as simple as offering an invitation to someone so they can experience your why of following Jesus? Maybe you're even here today because someone offered you an invitation. Whatever your situation or circumstance, know that God can use you where you are. All you have to do is set aside any fear you may have, answer his invitation to be obedient, and trust in the story he was writing. Well, we may not know what tomorrow or next week or even this afternoon holds, we can trust that God will use it for his glory and place it in his story. I went in it today with a passage that I hope will encourage you to put aside your fear and your trust to be in the author of the story. We find it in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And this is what it reads. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Let me say that again. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Where will your name be written in God's story? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that you are a God, Lord, that is the author of our story as it's included in your story. And Lord, I just pray for each of the women here, Lord, that they will be able to overcome fear and trust in you and be obedient to you in whatever you are calling them to do, no matter how small it may be. That smallness is something we put on it, a measurement we put on it, but Lord, nothing is too small to you. And so I just ask that you'll be with these women as they go out and they live their lives and trust in you, Lord, that they will hear your voice and be obedient to it in whatever way that might be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.